Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
In the words of Wayne Mardell, I can't speak! I can't speak.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, to that Chelsea podcast. Chelsea 4, Manchester United 3. What a game. The worst, best game of football I think I've ever watched. Join me to look back again. Like a lot of Chelsea players under Mauricio Pochettino, they seem to go through the red zone. I'm putting Jam very much through the red zone. He will probably end up on the Chelsea injury report, undergoing his rehabilitation program soon after this podcast. But I'll tell you what, without 90 seconds to go, I think we were all ready to jump. We were all ready to hop on that injury report. Dear God, what? Oh, Jam, how are we doing? I don't even know where to start. Just how are we doing?
Nick, I am alive, my brother. I am alive. What have we just watched? What have we just witnessed? Honestly, don't you just love football sometimes?
Oh, mate. I will say I absolutely love football when that is basically whenever you think of everyone who tuned in on their Sundays or to watch that, you know, that that Arsenal Man City game on Sunday, everyone getting excited, oh, it's a Premier League title, potential Premier League title decided, it's, you know, going to be a game for the ages. And it was absolutely horrendous. And then we get served this game today, as Liam Twomey tweeted at the time, this game just feels like an entire sarcastic riposte to City Arsenal. And yeah. Bonkers. Jam, tell people where they can find you and all your stuff just before we get into it and try and make sense of what we've just seen.
Bro, I don't even know how we're going to do this. We're just going to go through the feels, man. Well, everyone, you can find me on @carefree_jam. That's on X, TikTok and Instagram. Also, please do check out the Chelsea social. That's @thechelsocial on the same platforms, and @thecfcw social too on the same platforms. Please do check us out, follow us, and interact. But let's do this, Nick. I am buzzing.
Yeah, indeed. Chelsea, Man United, 4-3. I mean, Jam, just tell me, honestly, your thoughts just right now of the fact that Chelsea have beaten Manchester United for the first time in the Premier League since November 2017. Just thoughts. We've got that hoodoo out of the way. We can talk about potentially the wider implications for the rest of this season, but just getting that hoodoo out of the way, there has been some truly ridiculous games against Manchester United over the years that Chelsea have not, but have contrived to take draw or defeat from the jaws of victory. And then tonight, we gave United, I guess, a taste of their own medicine with just the batshit craziness of what went on. Just jam thoughts of as Chelsea beat Manchester United in the Premier League for the first time since November 2017. I'm just laughing because I don't really know what this means long term. I'm just laughing at the fact that we out-bantered Man United. It was, just stupid game of football.
Stupid game of football, mate. You said it there. Look, I hate Man United growing up. All my best mates, Man United fans, they scumbag everyone. Honestly, they're full of tomfoolery, scumbaggery, nonsense, BS. Call it what you want. And we've just given it to them. I called us the debt collectors on my review, right? We have collected a debt for the footballing world, for the footballing gods. I feel good. There is no better team for that to be against than that tonight. And I almost feel like we are watching a child of ours, just suddenly grow, suddenly be able to swim on their own, suddenly be able to ride a bike without the stabilizers on. Do you know, suddenly start walking for the first time, suddenly start talking for the first time. That is Chelsea Football Club tonight. I have seen us going from 0 to 100 and give it back better than we got it. And for that reason, I am absolutely buzzing. We can dissect all the downside, the faults, the flaws, everything we've got to work on, but we can do that tomorrow. I mean, we're probably going to talk about it tonight, but you know, first and foremost, I just want to live in the feels. The fact that we won 4-3 and we delivered that last minute L to Man United, hold that.
Yep, indeed. Chelsea beat Manchester United for the first time since November 2017, when Rockstar by Post Malone was number one in the charts, people. I was 19 years old. I was 19 years old. I'm now 25, folks. It's been a fucking long time. A long time coming. And just to kind of take in the pure banterness of it all, Cole Palmer scored the latest winning goal in Premier League history tonight, 100 minutes, 39 seconds. According to Squawk Alive. So we have shown you, ladies and gentlemen, you've witnessed history. Jam, let's kind of get into it. Because that play, for the actual first 30 minutes, till Chelsea, you know, did their usual self-sabotage trick, that first 30 minutes, Chelsea were actually pretty good. Chelsea actually played some quite good stuff and found themselves 2-0 up. Let's go, first goal. Ball into the box, finds its way in path for Conor Gallagher. Lovely finish. You can question if Onana should do better. He gets a strong hand to it. But Jam, it's one nil and there. Fair play, Cole Palmer. You know, who's, we don't necessarily think is perhaps best suited to that position. But there he is, crashing into the box to put us 1-0 up. Great start to the game, wasn't it? Just happy start.
Absolutely, and I think Connor needed that because obviously the last game against Burnley didn't have a very good game. We discussed that actually, you and I, but he comes in, captain for the night, and crashing into the box. Even his performance all round was fairly chaotic, as it usually is. But I think that was a really good start. And it was a basketball game at that point, but we still had the better of it at that point. And I think that goal really drove us on. And we really went into, you know, the ascendancy at that point. But I do like the fact that he managed to lose his marker, Casemiro, kind of showing that he is finished. Albeit there was a bit of a lucky deflection, but he was in the right place, right time. Good finish, other than maybe Onana. You know, it's Onana, isn't it? But I'm very happy for Connor. He's had some real bullshit to deal with in the last few days. It's got no leg to stand on. It's just absolute nonsense, you know, with the mascot, or the young kid. That was a non-story. So it was good for him to come out and score first of all like this and just sort of lead from the front. So really happy for him. And it was, you know, we'll take that. 1-0 Chelsea.
Yep. And Jam, Chelsea get a penalty for the second game in a row. Cucurella is fouled. I believe it's Antony, which, you know, at this point I'm thinking, oh, this is pure prime Antony. Obviously, we know what is to come later. But are you going 2-0? Palmer slots home, and Jam said Chelsea 2-0 up. And I mean, granted, I was not comfortable because, you know, the stat of Chelsea conceding 2 goals in a game, which did continue today. But at that point, you're thinking, oh, Chelsea will kick on. But Jam, in general, like those first 30 minutes, Chelsea kind of showed what basically they should have probably done to them at Old Trafford earlier in the season. And basically what essentially any good team kind of should do to Manchester United this season. That, you know, they are just not very good, and that they are probably the worst. I mean, again, they are probably the worst sixth place team I can remember in the Premier League in my lifetime. They are god awful. And Jam, yeah, Cole Palmer solid at home to make it 2-0. The first of his penalties tonight, and I will get on to Palmer in more detail. But Jam said 30 minutes in, 2-0, and I'm going, God, Chelsea, you're going to actually probably beat Man United and make this a nice, comfortable night for Chelsea. You know, is this going to be the night where we kind of, you know, talk about Chelsea getting that big statement win under Poch against, like, you know, one of the bigger sides? I guess the nonsense that follows kind of maybe clouds that a little bit. But yeah, Jam, 30 minutes in, 2-0 up, and we are going, yeah, this is lovely stuff. Said 2-0 up inside 20 minutes. Like, I was thinking, you know, Chelsea, you continue up at this rate, you'll win 9-0. And given how poor United were, wasn't inconceivable. But yeah, Jam, that was a lovely start, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, man. And fully deserved at that point. I mean, how I'll describe it is that going forward, we were great. Defensively, not so much, but we still deserved to be 2-0 up at that point. We had the momentum, generally speaking, and Cole Palmer doing his thing. We're all literally calling him Cole Palmer now rather than Cole Palmer. Like, that's just because we just know when he steps up to the spot like that, he's going to bag. And that he did, no questions asked. Unfortunately, I don't think it was a penalty. And that's the second time in a row we've got one at home like that. However, it is what it is. Ref gave it. We play on, we score. And again, let me go back to the fact that it's against Man United. Hold that. And at that point, I made the mistake of tweeting saying, are we actually on course to beating a big six side? And I ate my words within 45 minutes. But no, at that point, I was flying.
Yeah, no, I was flying too. And I sent a message to my mate. I was at the half hour mark of the game. Gabs, who people will know who sends in his voice notes in every episode. I sent him this at 8:45 and 8:46. United are so wank, so curious to see how we fuck this up. Like, worst team to come to the bridge this season vibes. And then he replied, mate, I don't know why, I still think we'll fuck this. And then within 8 minutes, it was 2-2. It was 2-2 of that. Because, Jam, firstly, Moises Caicedo plays one of the worst passes you will see this season. He just plays Alejandro Garnacho straight in on goal, and he makes it 2-1. And Jam, from that point on, Chelsea kind of just shit themselves. Again, one tiny setback, they shit themselves, and he gives Man United, who had not been very good at this point, just for confidence, you know, that they can get at Chelsea. And Jam, it was just another example of Chelsea shooting themselves in the foot again with more self-inflicted errors. It was awful.
That's just the highlight of how inexperienced our squad is, in my opinion. To pass the ball across goal, effectively across the pitch, in that situation, to your last man, without having a real good look at what's there, with your back to the attackers that are pressing you, is suicide. And you're coached out of that at a very young age. There's no way you shouldn't have ever passed that to Badiashile. And I think he was calling for it. But he should have gone back to Petrovic. And, you know, Caicedo learned from that in the first goal. He learned the hard way. And he's learned a lot of harsh lessons this season. But yeah, I think that second goal was really where my head went. I think every single Chelsea fan watching that first goal go in that manner knew we were in trouble at that moment. And yeah, we didn't have to wait too long, as you said. And it was just a very simple goal. And of all people to score it, one of the players I really dislike the most in world football, Bruno Fernandes, scoring a header, for Christ's sake. Where was the marking? Where was it?
Yeah, Jam. There were six Chelsea players in their own box and only two United players in the box for that goal. And yet he was unmarked at the back post.
Yeah. Unreal. Unreal. Honestly, there's this defence. And I said it in my review against Burnley. Like, we are just more open than a 24/7 Texaco. Like, that's it. We're just like, oh, come in. Yeah, we're always open. 24/7. Come in to our box. Ah, yeah. It's a joke. And yeah, honestly, my head started to go at that moment, as most people just did. And we went in, obviously, at half-time, 2-2, right? Knowing what comes next. A Pochettino half-time team talk. but yeah, at that moment, it wasn't looking good. And, you know, half-time probably came at the right time. Man United were in the ascendancy. And we never really looked assured defensively in the first half, despite us looking good going forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, and remember, Chelsea became the first top-flight side to both score 2+ goals and concede 2+ goals in 6 consecutive matches in all competitions since Chelsea themselves back in November, December 1989. And it also meant it was the 8th game in a row that Chelsea had thrown away a lead. If you remember, we literally talked about the previous spot. It was the 7th game in a row, and it was the 8th today. And Jam, I'll be honest, the fact it was 2-2 at half-time, and I said before, you know, we got to Poch's, whatever Poch says at half-time, the fact that Chelsea genuinely don't come out to second halves, great. And then Jam, the unthinkable happens, and Manchester United go 3-2 up, and it's Garnacho again. It's a ball across from Antony, and he just manages to get to there before Petrovic and heads it over him. And Jam, at that point, I am thinking, oh my God, it is over. It is. Our season is over for Pochettino. At that point, I'm like, you are done for. There is no way back for you. You've got to go. The sporting directors have got to go, like, heads have got to roll that, because it was just awful, Jam. And Jam, can I just a side point as well? Can I just point out how fucking cringe I found Ben, how I found Axel Disasi's fist pumping and celebrating all his blocks and stuff? Like, fair play, do that. Fair play, that gimmick's kind of all right when you're 1-0 up, when you're underdogs and 1-0 up against probably the best team in Europe in Manchester City away, and you're not expected to do anything. But when you've been in a game where you're 2-0 up against Manchester United, where you've basically been abysmally defensive all game, where there's been no structure at all, you're fist pumping, making a block and all that lot, when you've thrown away a position of ascendancy, like, nah. In general, and I mean, Jamie, it gets summed up. I mean, Disasi gets subbed off as well, which kind of says it all. I mean, I don't even know if he's mainly the one responsible for that. But that Fergal, I think Paddy Shield has a part to play in that as well. But Jam, it was just comical. I mean, Jam, if the first goal was, you know, an individual error that we can't necessarily put on Poch, those next two goals, certainly, like, I mean, we'll get onto it in a bit, but for structure, there was no shape. There was just nothing. It was just you attack, we attack, you attack, we attack, rinse and repeat. It was abysmal. And on a side point, I reckon that is the worst coached game between two supposed big side six that I can remember in a long time. Like, genuinely, neither coach has anything redeemable to say about that game. They were abysmal. And Rio Ferdinand on commentary at 2-2 said, this is a great advert for the Premier League. No, Rio Ferdinand, it's not a great advert for the Premier League. It is a great advert on how to build squads horrendously, and a great advert for two horrendous coaches. The two worst coach sides in the Premier League were on show tonight. There's teams that are going to get relegated. Sheffield United are abysmal. Burnley under company, sure, people. But I'm sorry, these two sides, with the amount of money they spent, with the players on hand, abysmally coached. There was nothing redeemable about from either side. Like, Jam, that genuinely just abysmal. But yeah, I've said a lot there, but just third goal, we find ourselves 3-2 down. Oh boy, peak toxicity has arrived.
Nick, I'm feeling the energy from you, my brother. I'm feeling it. It was honestly so badly coached. And I'm in a couple of group chats, one of which involves some very level-headed people. And I was cussing us from the first half, saying, it's like a basketball game. We're 2-0 up, but they are entering our box in third willy-nilly, like very easily. People didn't really want to hear it until we were 3-2 down. And that goal, I'm sorry, Badia Shield. First of all, actually, it started from Gallagher. And this is why some people don't really want him to play. He tries to switch the ball out to Mudryk and just overhits it. It goes off the pitch. Then they take a quick throw, I believe. It gets to Badia Shield. He gets possession, loses possession in a very dumb ass way. And it just really showcases what he's been like since coming back from his semi-long-term injury, and they just cut through us like a hot knife through butter. And before you know it, goal, Garnacho. And, you know, I actually, at that moment, whilst I wasn't surprised, I dropped my phone. I dropped it on the floor because everything just left me. Any minor bit of optimism, hope at 2-2 that we can maybe get a draw at the very least, went. And I did not see us coming back, because we don't do that. We're not comeback FC. We're second half FC in the worst possible sense. And yeah, you just thought, this is more Man United bullshit. They're going to do it again. They're going to scam another victory when they don't deserve it, or points. And yeah, I didn't know what to think there. Okay, Poch made some subs after that. And damn right, he had to do something, because he knew that that was it. P45 in the morning, probably. We will never know now, but he made some subs, and funnily enough, United sat back. They sat back, and we came back into the game. And it just goes to show, when you are in the ascendancy, or, you know, actually, it's not always the best of things to sit back and just try to defend it. A game like that, maybe at that point, was so chaotic, you just probably have to give as good as you get. They sat back. We just gave it to them again and again and again. And it was always in the last minute that we're going to get something. And we'll get into that. But, you know, like at that moment, I really lost all hope for football and didn't really see us coming back. So I'm actually kind of gassed that we ended up, you know, on the right side of that result.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, it's 3-2 and, you know, time is ticking by. Chelsea have, you know, having some shots, but it does feel that we are becoming, you know, a bit less of a, you know, I did not feel necessarily a goal was coming. We were having shots, but it did not feel as obvious we would get a goal. But Jam, Chelsea get their second penalty of the game. And at this point, I must say, when I'm watching this, I just burst out laughing because I literally went and I was like, you know what, fair play. This game's going to end 3-0 and it's going to just be like, this is kind of fair. It's what both sides deserve. No side deserved to win this game. No side has been good enough to win this game. They've both been awful, and really both sides should get 0 points for this. Like, it was truly abysmal. But Nonny wins a penalty. He's fouled from Dalot. And Jam, it meant that at 99 minutes and 17 seconds that Manchester United were leading in this game, it's the latest a side has ever led in a Premier League match, but they've gone on to lose. So more beautiful, beautiful facts to come. But yeah, Jam, Cole Palmer slots at home for 3-3. And again, it's another great penalty from him. He's taken 8 penalties in his Premier League career, and he is now 8 from 8 from the penalty spot in Premier League history. Only Yaya Toure, 11 from 11. Dimitar Berbatov, 9 out of 9 have more. And Ruben Neves has 8 out of 8 converting from the spot. And he is the first Chelsea player to score 7 penalties, now 8 in a Premier League campaign. He's the first player to score 7 penalties in a Premier League campaign since Jorginho in 2021, now 8. And while Frank Lampard only 10 in 2011, netted more from the spot in a single season. But Jam, it gets even better, because in about the space of less than 90 seconds, Chelsea have gone and won it 4-3 with the latest goal, as mentioned, in Premier League history, with Cole Palmer's winning goal at 100 minutes, 39 seconds. And Jam, it meant, you know, in the space of about 9 seconds, Cole Palmer scored more goals than Mason Mount in the last 16 months. That's a nice, not to put, I don't mean to put the boot in on Mason Mount. I have no real beef, but I just saw that tweet from Nice Guy Kenny on the timeline, and I thought, yes, that was very, very fitting. Jam, it's just such a nonsense goal. Like, it's a corner taken quickly. And there it is. Palmer takes a shot, and McTominay diverts it in for free. Jam, it just sums it up, like, genuinely bonkers. But Jam, I also feel that it probably only against Manchester United, in a sense, could Chelsea do that against any other side, because I don't think any other side would be set up that poor defensively and just not react to, like, and not be able to see a game out. There was no way Chelsea should have won that game. 8 minutes of added time were given. And obviously, I know there's a ridiculously stupid long VAR check on the penalty. But yeah, Chelsea scoring the 90 plus 10, 90 plus 7. And Jam, Cole Palmer gets a hat-trick. Jam, earlier in the season, Nicholas Jackson scored a hat-trick against Spurs, which was dubbed, like, you know, arguably labelled one of the worst Premier League hat-tricks in history. Jam, does this kind of go level with that, given that two of them are penalties and one of them just an absolute bonkers goal, you know, that goes kind of in off McTominay? It's not to have a dig at Palmer, but you've got to score penalties, but it's not exactly a hat-trick that everyone's, you know, going to be glowing about. I mean, Cole Palmer, you know, I thought was pretty good tonight. I also do think at times he kind of just tried to take on a bit much in himself. But Jam, with that, Cole Palmer is now to, like, you know, he's in the golden boot race now as well. He's on 16 goals in Premier League this season. He's only 2 behind Erling Haaland on 18. And he's now been directly involved in more league goals than any other 23 player in Europe's big 5 leagues. He's on 24, Haaland on 23, Saka and Foden on 21 apiece, and Jude Bellingham on 20. I mean, Jam, I asked it to you again at the weekend, but where would Chelsea be without Cole Palmer? Like, so good. So good.
Finish, mate. We'll be in a relegation zone, to be very honest with you. And how good does it feel to actually see a Chelsea player in the golden boot race coming up to, what, game week 30? Honestly, when was the last time that was the case? Was it, what, Diego Costa? Like, come on. Honestly, this is absolutely unreal. I'm going to say this right now, not to overhype him, but given the circumstances and the standards of Chelsea Football Club right now, he is him. For us, he is him. He might not be him for the Premier League yet, but boy, is this guy growing game by game. The only thing, and I'm going to say this now and move on to the good stuff again, but the only thing he has to work on, and you touched on it, is his decision making. All too often does he try and make space, the defender reads him, and he will still shoot, and it will get blocked, and it's a waste, and he could have passed it. We're going to work on that, like work in progress. Look, he needs something to work on at his young age, right? He can't be the complete article right now. My God, this guy, he just has that aura. He is him. He is him for us. And for him to have a hand in those goals like that, I mean, first of all, going to the penalty, ice in his veins. This is why we call him Cold Palmer. That BSVAR check when we knew it was a penalty, why was that a thing? It went on for, what, a minute, maybe even more. And he didn't care. He still stuck it away. No issues. And that meant a lot to me because, like you said, you just laughed at that moment. I didn't react. I did not react. I was just silent, looking at the TV. He scored, and I didn't react. Because at 3-3, the way that game went, I was still angry, very annoyed, very annoyed. I think that's when we messaged, and I was like, my head's still gone. Then I didn't even see what happened for us to get the ball back. But I just see us attacking and I get annoyed at the fact that we don't make the right pass. It goes out for a corner. I'm like, oh my God, we could have done it. Never saw a short corner going in like that. Cole Palmer, my God, the one time he shoots when, okay, you could argue he should have shot, but he actually shoots and it goes in to justify him shooting all the time. It goes in. My God. That is my highlight of this whole entire year so far. We're in April, the fourth month, and that right there, that moment, will live rent-free in my head for a very long time. I don't know the last time Chelsea fans got blessed with moments like that. Genuinely, I don't know when we BS'd a game like that. That is what football fans love. And for it, like I said earlier, for it to happen to Man United, who have been scamming teams for years when they don't deserve it, especially this season... Hold that. The first thing I did after I stopped knee sliding on my laminate flooring, yeah, burning my kneecaps like Eden Hazard, I went straight back onto WhatsApp. The very many messages that I left unread, I read them and I came back. And that's how I'm going to leave that. Mate, loved
it's
it.
Beautiful.
What
a
moment.
It's beautiful. I've probably not celebrated a Chelsea goal like that since... probably Timo's goal that the bird bell that I thought had probably sent us through to the semi-finals. Like, Cole Palmer's got that. I'm just like, at that point, it's gone from pure humour to pure ecstasy just because we've like finally beaten Man United. Like, and people like, genuinely, like, if you like, even last season, that 1-1 draw where Casemiro pops up in like injury time to head home when Kepa's like weak wrist can't keep out, pains my soul. The games we had under them under Tuchel where we dominated the life out of them. And they scanned 1-1 draws. But it's been a long time coming. Like, and bear in mind how abysmal this Manchester United have been over the years. You know, it's been a long time coming this. I mean, said they sit in sixth place with a minus one goal difference, people. 30 games into the season, they have a minus one goal difference. So I cannot tell you how delighted I am and how overdue that feeling was. And yeah, it's just relief jam. Look, we've kind of get into it. I said, there's not really much to talk about player-wise because said it's basically Cole Palmer was excellent. Gallagher scored a goal, was okay. You know, had his poor moments after that. The defence, like the least said about them, the better. The fact that Marco Corella made Antony look like a Premier League winger kind of says it all, really. Gusto's, you know, is decent, I guess, going forward. The centre-back pair and the least said about them, the better. Enzo and Caicedo, yeah, did not have great games.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But Jam, I'm sorry, let's talk about it. Because I said earlier that's like the worst coach Big Six game, but I can remember it. And that's both sides. Jam, Pochettino, like, he has gone away with one tonight, hasn't he? Like, you, fair play to him. I love the passion. I love that passion at the end, because that has kind of been missing from him this season. And who knows, maybe that's a moment going on. But Jam, that game gave me absolutely zero confidence that Mauricio Pochettino is in any way, shape or form for the man to take Chelsea Football Club forward. Like, that was abysmal tactically. Like I said, structure. What structure? Structure did not exist. It's just a concept. If anyone remembers that scene, you know, when Matthew McConaughey talks about like Fugazi in Wolf of Wall Street, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a spirit. It doesn't fucking, it's not fucking real. That bit where he's talking to Leonardo DiCaprio. That's what it was. Like, Jam, it's like what would happen if you left a bunch of toddlers unattended with like paint and they just made like the biggest mess you would ever seen. It's like in that episode of Community when Arvid goes out for pizza and the next thing they know, that the flat or the room is on fire. It was just an absolute mess of a game. Jam, I have nothing good to say at all about how Chelsea set up. Really about how Chelsea played. Like, we were good going forward because Manchester United let us. Like, there was the amount of gaps in that midfield, how quickly people could bypass it, just the amount of space. Mother Jam, that was a horror show tactically. Like, when we analyze this game, there's no real tactical analysis to do because there were no tactics on show. There was nothing. There was no structure. There was no nothing. It was just an absolute incoherent mess. With two pretty woeful teams, given, you know, the expectations placed on them, two inconsistent teams. Jam, like, again, just on word Poch, like, fair play, absolutely nothing. I have nothing good to say about him tonight. I'm, you know, for his sake and just for our season's sake, I'm pleased we won. But dear God, that was absolutely abysmal coaching wise. Like, dear God, what did I watch? Like, that game could, honestly, we could have probably been seeing like a 6-6 draw. Like we weren't that far off it. Like, if both teams like were a bit more clinical, like 6-6 genuinely was on the cards. It was that bad.
Honestly, yeah, it really was. And you know, the thing is, a lot of people out there, just because they're football fans and they support the team, they get lost in their own bias and they don't like criticism of their team. So there'll be people out there going, oh, we got the 3 points, oh, all of this. Okay, yes, with the emotion, you can say that. But actually, let's look at why the game was like that. It was a basketball game. Even when we were 2-0 up, it was chaos. It was up and down and, you know, we're getting penned in our own box at times. Our midfield got bypassed. I'll get onto the defence in a second. But that midfield got bypassed so easily. And the press is all over the place. Gallagher's pressing on his own. They bypass him. Then it's up against Caicedo and Enzo. They just get bypassed so easily as well. It's no good. Then that defence is so vulnerable as it is. They're just getting absolutely hammered. And to be fair to them, they're just exposed. I do feel for them for that. Most of the time they're exposed. They haven't got a sitting DM. Caicedo isn't that. He is probably more of the mould of a Kante, isn't he, really? We are really lacking that profile, and it really showed tonight. The coaching is unbelievable. It's everyone go forward, and when we inevitably lose the ball, we just get countered to death. And again, like you said, if Man United were more clinical, we could have been in trouble conceding more goals, let alone us scoring more. But it wasn't good enough, and I don't have faith in the defence that played tonight. I mean, Gusto's encouraged to get forward, and I understand that. But there's not really much balance when he does go forward because the only three that stay back are legit Cucurella, De Sassi, and Badiashile. And I feel very, very sorry for those guys to an extent. But when they're making individual errors on a game-by-game basis, like major errors, that quickly fades because they've got to be better than they are, especially De Sassi at his big age of 26. Mark Cucurella is 25. Badi Ashina, I feel sorry for him to an extent more because he's come from a long-term injury and he's still getting back into things and he's 23. But it's not good enough. And again, I go back to the exile that Thiago Silva's in right now. What's, you know, would that have happened tonight with him? Okay, maybe the pace, but the organisation probably could have been better. Who knows? We were conceding goals with him anyway, but I just think we're a shambles with him not on the pitch. That's, everyone can surely agree with that. Bit of leadership at the back, a bit of experience could be worthwhile for us. But that is something that really, 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 really needs to be sorted because, you know, we saw it on the weekend gone. Burnley, with 10 men, knew that they can get at us and get at us, they did, right? So there's something not really right here and it really needs to be figured out because who's our next game? What is it, Everton at home?
Sheffield United away on the weekend.
Oh, and you know,
Liverpool made hard work of them tonight at Anfield.
They're in that part of the season where they've decided that they don't want to go down. Like, forget the form. They're going to play with their, like, their lives depend on it, like Burnley did to us. Sheffield United away is going to be a long day, potentially, you know? And we really need to show our quality then compared to them and show a bit of backbone when it comes to defending because we're going to have moments to defend. We can't do what we did tonight because that's just going to be a gamble and we don't need that. Away from home with their fans, they might, you know, give them that 12th man boost. We don't need that. So we need 3 points in the weekend. Poch, they need to go to training ground, watch it all back and see where they need to sort it out because they really do. It's not good enough.
In the last 9 seasons, just 2 Premier League matches have seen 47 plus shots, both teams combined, with both those coming in Chelsea's last 2 fixtures, 51 v Burnley and 47 tonight v Man United. And Jam, the 2 games between Manchester United this season in Premier League saw 88 shots, the most in a fixture since 2014-15 Leicester v QPR, 92. So yeah, if ever you wanted stats that just summed up how abysmal both sides are, it's those stats right there. Jam, on Saturday we said we were kind of going to forget Europe, dude, and we're kind of go and watch and observe. And I mean, based on tonight, I still kind of want to, because as I said, I think it's incredibly unsustainable to expect, you know, Chelsea to get. We conceded our 50th Premier League goal of the season. It's been 29 matches we've played. So, but Jam, somehow, despite how god-awful we are, we're 10th. We're behind Brighton in 9th on goal difference. We're 1 point with a game in hand. We're 1 point behind Newcastle in 8th with a game in hand. We're 2 points behind West Ham in 7th with 2 games in hand. And we're 5 points behind Man United in 6th with a game in hand. Jam. Like, and I'm looking at these teams and none of these other teams look like putting runs of form together. It's truly, truly bonkers. I'm going to say now, properly, outside the top 5, the rest of the league are fucking shit. Outside of the top 5, in Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Villa and Spurs, the rest of us are all fucking dreadful because there is no way that we should still be in the conversation given how poor we are. And yet now we probably should still get Europe, despite the fact that I don't expect Europe. Jam, it's truly, truly bonkers that we are, yeah, we're still in behind and we've still got like a decent-ish chance given the fact we also still have to play West Ham and Brighton again this season. Oh, Jam, like this team, man. I mean, I'm just set, like, I just don't know what to make of it because I, like, it's not sustainable. Like, it's not sustainable what we are doing. But yet we're still like getting enough points and we're not losing any ground on teams. As I said, like we didn't really lose any ground on anyone at the weekend. And then this midweek, we've made up ground on all the teams above us. Like, Jam, I know it seems like, you know, I'm still not going to let myself really get fooled. But I mean, yeah, Jam, I've got to be honest, if we get Europe, then I have to say, like, that is a damning indictment of all the teams above us. I mean, even if we have, you know, got on paper a better squad and we have spent a lot more money on them. Like, I mean, yeah, Jam, I'm just going to say now, you've got 3 really good teams in this league at a high level, 2 decent teams, 2 fun teams, and then the rest, dear God. But yeah, Jam, like, awful. Like, genuinely, the fact that us and Man United could get Europe despite being this god-awful, like, wow. Yeah, I'm kind of waffling, but Jam just thought it's truly bonkers that we're, after drawing 2-2 with Burnley at the weekend, we're now in a better position now than we were prior to it. Like, we're like genuinely now, we're probably in the best position in terms of sort of looking up to qualifying for Europe as we have been in a while. Like, it's bonkers. And yet we're so, yeah, I just still think we're so bad. We're still so, so bad.
We're terrible, mate. We are terrible. But we're in that inconsistent pile right now, that part of the league where teams are going to be that inconsistent. You know, we are where we are because we are where we are after 29 games. And so the other teams around us, they have some good bits of form. They have some bad bits of form. It's all about inconsistency. And yeah, when you were describing that, I mean, I'm looking at the table right now. Man United's next game is Liverpool. If the result that should happen happens, barring any BS that they're very good at, Man United, my gosh, like, if genuinely, if that happens and we win our game on the weekend, I know we've got games in hand to play against Tottenham at home, Arsenal away. We probably know the kind of result we're going to get Arsenal away, at least. But at that point,
also, Jamie, we are in... saying, yeah. Manchester United after that have a tricky 5:30 away at Bournemouth the following weekend when we play Everton on the Monday. Like, again, this will not happen. Yeah. This will not happen because they are the jammiest club alive, and like, they have paid the price for whatever sacrifice they made. And, you know, they will, you know, thus get rewarded with some BS in the next couple of games. And I'm sorry, folks. I hate to break it to you. Chelsea are not winning both of their next two games. Like, I've watched this team. We are not getting 6 points from our next two games. We are getting four maximum. But if the miracle was happening and we get 6 points, there is genuinely a possibility that in our next two games we could be above Man United. But it's truly, truly bonkers how just abysmal. Like, this is probably going to be the lowest, one of the lowest points required to get Europa League football in God knows how long. Like, I was saying over the weekend, 60 points. I think being 60 points is generous, because that's, you know, you're looking at a lot of these teams. If seventh is enough, you're looking at West Ham getting 15 from their last seven, 2 points a game. Are we really, like, it's so damning that I think you're going to get the lowest points. Anyway, yeah, it's just an absolute nonsense that we've tried to make sense of. This game did not make sense. As I said, it depends. It's either the worst, best game ever or the best, worst game ever. Like, however you want to kind of frame it. Two abysmally coached sides. And just, sorry, from a side point, Man United, I say it now, in the unlikely event there's any Man United list fans listening, there is no way you can continue with Erik ten Hag next season. Like, there is not. The regression is staggering. The only reason they're above us is because they're actually, like, they have, like, some juju, the strongest juju ever, going on them. And their players are actually quite clinical, you know, going forward compared to what we are. But, like,
Nick, they are genuinely abysmal. Quick thing. Guess who my captain was on FPL?
What, Salah? Or did you?
Cole Palmer, mate.
Well, bowling captain Cole. So this captain thing, Cole. I've had two. Sorry, side point. I've had two players get hat tricks in FPL this week. Neither of them are my captains, people, because I had chosen captain Mo Salah for Sheffield United, who gets subbed off like 60 minutes, or well, before 60 minutes. I'm not even sure he got that second point. My team is very, very funny. I've got 63 points this week. 20 of them from Foden, 17 from Palmer, 8 from Isak, 6 from Gabriel. I bought Connor Bradley in for Sheffield United at home. Gets an own goal. Anyway, we digress. I'm not here for the FPL talk, but it's quite an underwhelming FPL week when I've got two players with hat-tricks and I've only got 63 points. But yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, Chelsea, man, you are a bizarre football team. As I said, that is probably one of the craziest, silliest games of Chelsea Football Club in the last however many years. It made no sense. There wasn't really anything good to say that happened in that game post the 30th minute mark, or post United scoring the 35th minute. So, you know, 2/3 of that game, it was truly abysmal. There was nothing good to say about it. But Chelsea found a way, and fair play, they did find a way. But we're going to wrap it up. I don't know how much sense we've made. I'm not sure how much analysis that was made. There's not much analysis made. It's just pure reaction that, yeah, we won. We're somehow still in the hunt for Europe, despite what happened at the weekend. We're still, like, we somehow still could get sixth. Chelsea. It's bonkers. This is, yeah. I said, there's 15 shit teams in this league. There's 15 shit teams in this league, people. There's three really good ones, two average ones, and 15 shit teams. The worst quality of Premier League. I'm going to say now, the worst quality of Premier League this season that I can remember, because there is no, like, yeah. Football is falling off, people. But what a game. What a weekend of football. You've got the Newcastle West Ham game of the weekend. You got this to, and then you got this one this week. What a truly crazy game of football, Chelsea. You are never boring. You were never boring. I can give you credit to that. You are not boring. We would not have got this last season. We would have not got a game like this last season. But yeah, Jam, I'll just let you go. Give yourself one last one before we go. I think we've covered enough. It's just incoherent ramble at this point, really.
Bro, we just needed to give the people our feels, man, our emotions, and we did that. Unreal night of football. But thank you as always. Always a pleasure to be on, mate. Everyone can find me on @carefree_jam. That's on X, TikTok, and Instagram. Do check out my post-match reaction. Also, please do check out the Chelsea social @thechelsesocial on the same platforms, and the CFCW social too on the same platforms. But thank you, Nick. Always a pleasure. And big up everyone that listen.
Yeah, indeed. I know it's a short turnaround, but I'm hoping people will tune in to try and make sense of what we witnessed. Yeah, as for us, we're on Twitter or X about Chelsea Pod, on all usual podcast platform providers, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please feel free to leave a rating and review. It goes a long, long way. As I said, not much analysis, just pure reaction, pure emotion. As I said, Chelsea, it was an awful, truly, with 90 seconds, 90 seconds changes a lot in football, because this was probably, we were probably going from the low point of the season. It is all over. All hope is lost. It's toxic to somehow Chelsea season still being very much alive. That's football for you. Yeah, this Chelsea team, yeah, said you're not dull. You're heart attack inducing. That is for sure. But as I said, folks, whenever I took part and you'd like some reposts, go a long way. But yeah, Chelsea beating Manchester United for the first time since November 2017 in the Premier League, and the first time in the Premier League since we started doing this podcast as well. So that is long overdue as well. But yeah, until the next episode, everybody keep a blue flag flying high.
Sports Social Podcast Network.